Well, I really am looking forward to this week. And, you know, Pastor and I were talking about it. Not too many churches have a Sunday-to-Sunday meeting. And so I know we're busy and we have things going on, family work, things of that nature. So let me just challenge you to try to be here every night. And not because I'm preaching, but because it's God's Word and the Bible has the answers. And he talked about more mental illness in our world today. I will talk about that a little bit later on in the week. You know, and my thinking is this, if the world has all the answers, then why are people not getting better? Does that make sense? And people they're not getting better. It's getting worse. And a part of that is just the fact that we're living in the last days and that, you know, it's a sin and things of that nature. But, you know, how many of you have a life verse? If somebody asks you, you have a life verse. What do you got, Brother Eddie?
John 3:17.
Okay. All right. Good. I'm glad you can quote it. Right? Who else? Life verse. What do you got?
2 Timothy 2:4.
Okay.
No man at war entangles himself in affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier.
Right. Okay, that's a good verse. Anyone else? All right, so if I had a life verse to try to help in the area of biblical counseling, it'd be this verse. 2 Peter 1:3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain, two things he names, to life and godliness, to the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. All right, so in other words, he says, we have everything we need to live life as a human being on God's planet, right? We have life, we have breath, we have food, we have clothing, we have a place to live. You know, praise God for that. Sometimes we take those things for granted. And then the second part of that is, not only for life, but for godliness. Well, what does that mean? Well, you have everything you need for human life and Christian life through Jesus Christ. That's what that means. So the world doesn't even know what the questions are, let alone the answers. So we're gonna look at what the Bible has to say in trying to help with some of the struggles that we have. And we're gonna look at anger and bitterness. We're going to look at depression. We're going to look at discouragement. We're going to look at fear, anxiety. You were talking a while ago. The number one thing that people struggle with today more than anything else is the area of anxiety. And a lot of that came about in 2020. Anybody remember what happened in 2020? COVID. And there's a lot of fear that people have, a lot of anxiety that people have. And so anyway, I'm very honored that Pastor wanted us to come and be with you this week. We'll talk more about it, but on the back table, we have some resources on the table back there, some counseling, different counseling guides, and I'll talk a little bit about those a little bit later. So, all right, if you take your Bible, we're going to go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Now, I don't know how preachy we're going to be this week. Somebody asked, what's the difference between teaching and preaching? Maybe it's the volume, you know, or how loud a guy gets. So we're not going to be real preachy this week, but my desire is, and we'll talk about that in the morning service, is to give you some tools that can help you with some of the struggles that you may be going through. And I'm going to give a challenge to everybody in the morning service. I'm going to ask you to do three things during this week, and I'll save that for later. So, all right, Ephesians chapter 5, and Paul begins in verse 1. He says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." Now, the word follower just means to be simply to be a disciple, be a follower. Isn't that what a disciple is? Is a follower, right? and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. All right. So then in verse number 3 down to verse number 8, he talks about some things that have to do with purity. And so that's going to be the focus on the message. And I know we got a couple of teenagers here, and so I don't want to be... What we're going to talk about is just talk about purity. And Pastor and I were discussing this even before we came today. There is a plague in our world today that men struggle with. And that's a plague of pornography. Okay? So, again, I want to be very careful how I present this morning. But I just feel like this is the area that we need to look at. All right. So, I'm not going to read all the verses here. All right, so our lives are filled with boundaries. Boundaries, right? We think about boundaries mark one's property. You know, if you buy a house, they come out, they survey it, and they got the little yellow flags out there to show you where your property lines go. You know, and you read every once in a while dispute over property lines that people will have with a neighbor and things of that nature. But we have property lines that distinguish your property from the next door neighbor's property, right? So boundaries. We have boundaries that are between states. Think about states of Florida and Georgia. You know, we got the panhandle of Florida here. We have a panhandle in Oklahoma. In fact, the other day I didn't even think about it, but Oklahoma kind of looks like an axe, you know, or a cleaver, a meat cleaver, if you look at Oklahoma. And so they distinguish between states. The boundaries distinguish between countries. You have boundaries when it comes to sporting events. You know, if a guy steps on the white line on the side of a football field, what do they say? He's out of what? Out of bounds. So boundaries are good things. They make distinctions for us. And so, as a college student, as a dean of a college, when Eddie was there, I think we figured out he came after I transitioned out of the dean of students' office, which was the best day of my life, the day that we were no longer the deans, because when you're the dean of a Bible college, you're the bad guy. You know, you're the one that has to enforce all the rules. And so I would have guys that would come in, and they would tell me this, while I'm quitting school. Well, how come? Well, I don't like the rules. We have rules in Bible college. Sorry, that's just the way that it is. And I said, okay. So, in the course of the conversation, I would ask them, or I asked the guys, all right, so tell me, what are you going to do with your life? All right, he's just told me he wants to quit because he doesn't like the rules. And his next statement to me just floors me. He says, I'm going to join the military. Do they have rules in the military? A few. They tell you when to go to bed, when to get up, how to wear your hair, what to wear. It sounds kind of like Bible college, actually. And I'm thinking, right, so the problem was not rules, okay? So the guy that says, I don't like the rules, he's going to join the military, which has rules. The problem was wasn't rules. He didn't like boundaries in his life. He didn't like somebody telling him what he should do and what he shouldn't do. So boundaries. Now I have a statement right there in your notes by Steve Currington, and who was the founder of Reformers Unanimous, a very large faith-based addictions program, who said this: true freedom is found in boundaries, and you only exchange boundaries for bondage. True freedom is found in boundaries. And when you exchange those boundaries, you actually put yourself under bondage. In reality, here's what boundaries do. They create security and not restriction. You understand what I mean by that? They create security in your life and not restrictions. You know, people say, well, I want to do my own thing and I want to be different than everybody else. And so they do what everybody else does. In reality, here's what they do. they become like everybody else that doesn't want to follow the boundaries that have been placed in their lives. Their attempt to be different than everyone else makes them like everyone else. Does that make sense? So when we think about the area of boundaries when it comes to purity, I want to look at something. All right, so I was an educator for 26 years, so I've got notes. So hopefully I have a pen and you can fill in some blanks here. So we're going to walk through this. Everybody have a pen? Do we need some pens? You got them? Everybody's got a pen? You ought to have a pen when you come to church. You've got to sign your tithe check, amen? So, oh, sorry. I don't know where that came from. But 20 years as a pastor, maybe I'm still thinking about stuff like that. All right, so number one is this. Looking down to the first point, all right? Roman numeral number one. The need for boundaries. There is a need for boundaries in our lives. All right, so would you agree with me that we live in a very sexually charged world? Everywhere you look, television, commercials, all of these things. And again, I want to be careful in how we present this because we live in a sexually charged world. Now look at point number two there under Roman numeral number one. I love this statement. God is so strongly opposed to sexual relationships outside of biblical marriage because He is so strongly in favor of those same relationships within marriage. You understand what that means? God has made some boundaries in our lives that He said, I am so much in favor of that relationship in a marriage relationship. I am so much in favor of that, that I'm strongly opposed to that outside of the marriage relationship. That's what God, that's how God views all of these things. All right, Roman numeral number two. We can make it through here real quick, all right? Number two, the purpose of boundaries when it comes to purity. The purpose of boundaries. There are some purposes. Here's the reason why God makes these boundaries when it comes to sexual purity. And here it is. To show that God has made our minds, that with the help of the Holy Spirit of God, our minds can be trained and controlled. I have had guys tell me, I just can't control my anger. And I've said to them this. We're going to talk about anger this week. I can't control my anger. Well, do you get angry like this when you go to work? Oh, no. Well, how come? If I did, I'd get fired. So in reality, they can control their anger. They just choose not to. Right? So a guy says, I just can't control my desires and I can't keep them under control. Maybe it's more of a choice. You choose not to control those desires that God looks upon and says, this isn't right. You are a married man. You shouldn't be looking at this stuff on your computer. You shouldn't be having these desires. Hey, listen, just because you're married doesn't mean that you're not going to ever want to have a relationship outside of marriage. Marriage isn't a cure. I got a little bit ahead of myself. So I did. All right. So and so when we think about it, number three is this, the nature of the male mind when it comes to purity, the nature of your mind. All right, so as a man, and we're all men here, even though, how old are you, 14? Huh?
I'm 18.
18, okay, sorry. How old are you? 14, okay, so I got them backwards, so. Okay, he's 14 and 18. All right, so I'm telling on myself here, okay? I am 72 years old. 72. Been married for 52 years. Just celebrated this year 50 years of full-time ministry. It's hard to imagine. Of course, we got married when we were 12, but... you know, but as a 72-year-old man, okay, just because I'm 72 doesn't mean that I don't have bad thoughts every once in a while. I'm just being very transparent. Pastor and I were talking about it this morning. I was 15 years old, the very first time that I looked at any kind of pornography. I was 15 years old. I was under a bridge with some friends of mine. And we're just under, there's this overpass. I can hear the traffic going over the overpass. There's a creek running by. I can still smell the water in the creek. And a guy reaches in his pocket, pulls out a piece of paper and unfolds it. And it was a centerfold from a brother's Playboy magazine. Now, I don't remember the image on it, but I can remember it like it was yesterday. And I'm 72, and I was 15 then. So you do the math. That was several decades ago. And so every once in a while, when we think about the mind of a man is very, very flammable, isn't it? Very flammable. There's a quote that's there, I think it's in your notes, that says, a fire in the house is fine as long as it's in the fireplace. But anything outside of the fireplace can do a lot of damage. Well, we think about that. Think about it. And we're constantly, and your mind, gentlemen, is constantly looking for some kind of an opportunity. Whatever it might be. You know, and the mind is where most of what we struggle with begins. That's where it is. The way you think determines the way that you live. And I think in the book of Proverbs, it says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You say, well, how can you think in your heart? Well, the heart is where the thinking starts, isn't it? So if you want to change the way you live, you change the way that you think. That's the key. So you change the way that you think. And the nature of our mind is that we're constantly looking for something to feed our minds. I have a quote there, and I don't know if you have it from Martin Luther. We wouldn't agree with his, not necessarily with his theology, but he says this, birds of the air may fly over your head. I'm still under Roman numeral number four there. Birds may fly over your head, but you don't have to allow them to construct a nest in your hair. What does that mean? Thoughts may fly over your head, but you don't have to let them bed down there. Right? Would that be a good way to say that? A way that we would understand that. All right, number four, and I touched on this a while ago. Roman numeral number four is this, myths, M-Y-T-H, myths, on how to stop when it comes to purity. Here are some myths when it comes to purity. Number one is this, time. I will grow out of this phase of my life. It's just a phase in my life that I'm going through. Number two, marriage. I'll stop when I get married. Well, marriage doesn't cure it, does it? It doesn't. Now it helps, because now you have an outlet for those desires that you have, but it doesn't cure it. Time doesn't cure it. There's and we're going to talk about a battle plan here in just a moment. Or somebody says, well, you know, and this would apply to guys at Bible college, but it can apply to you too, because I know you've got a little men's class that you... Who's in the men's class? Learn how to preach. Let me see your hand. Okay. All right. Good. That's awesome. So guys say, well, I'll change things when I get out in the ministry. You know, I get a full-time job working in a church somewhere. I have dealt with a lot of guys that are in the ministry who still are struggling with impure thoughts and pornography. I have. I'm not here to try to just say that every guy in the world has a problem with it, but I'm just saying this, that there are some things that if you don't work at it, you won't control it. It's a lot of work. I don't know about you, but I have to work at doing right. You know what I mean? When I get up in the morning, I have to work at wanting to have a prayer time and wanting to have a Bible reading time. We're going to talk about that a lot this week. I'm going to give you a lot of things to try to help with some of the struggles that we have. And so if you don't get a grip on the situation, negative consequences will persist. And we think about this. Why do men why do we continue to struggle in the area of purity? Not everybody wakes up. Okay, a guy doesn't wake up in the morning and just say, you know, I think I'll just throw my marriage away. I think I'll just throw my relationship with my kids away, and I'll just go out and have an affair today. You don't wake up and just determine to do that. That's a process that takes place over a long period of time that you just don't get up one day and say, hey John, you know, I'm getting up in the morning. I think I'll do. I'll just go out there and I'll shoot somebody on the freeway just because I want to shoot somebody. That's a process. And so when we think about this area when it comes to purity, what happens is many times is we get caught up in the heat of a moment. The desire is, I have it in my notes here. You don't have it in yours, but here it is. The desire to look is greater than their desire to refrain from looking. They come to a place where they don't care. They're tired of fighting the battle. It's just, they don't care. And it's a battle. One of my counseling guides that we got back there is called Battle of the Mind. And it's a warfare. Do you know that you and I are engaged every day in some kind of a spiritual battle? Spiritual warfare. It's all around us. And Satan, he's a pretty crafty dude. He's been doing this, 6,000-8,000 years. He knows what he's doing. And he doesn't want you to succeed. He wants you to fail every day. And the battle makes us tired. And we get to the point where we just don't want to fight anymore. All right, number 5. God's goal. God has a goal for purity when it comes to your life. Somebody turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And verse number 3 and 4, read it for me. Let's get you involved a little bit here.
This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor.
All right. Do you know what that, the word vessel there, what do you think that implies? It's your body. Right? So God says, it's God's will. Read it again. Read that first part of that verse again.
For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication.
All right, so what is God saying right there? He's saying, hey, this is God's will for your life, that you abstain from fornication, right, that you keep yourself sanctified, which means to be set apart, right? In this instance, set apart for, if you're married, for who? For your wife. Isn't that right?
Right.
Or if you're not married, you're set apart for the future spouse. Right, John? Okay. Big John over here. Are they engaged yet? They are. Got a ring? Yo, I can see the ring growing in your nose right here, see? It's an invisible one, but he's already got one that's there. And she's already leading him around like a little bull, right? Okay, so I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get off on that. So God has a goal. Now look at this phrase, quote here from Randy Alcorn. It's a great book that I have called Purity Principle. To choose purity is to put yourself under God's blessings. To choose impurity is to put yourself under God's curse. So again, what's God's will for our life as men? That we abstain from what? Fornication. Fornication is kind of an umbrella term that would include everything that is immoral outside of marriage. Okay? I mean, you can put all of the different immorality things, immoral things that people do underneath that umbrella of fornication. All right? So anything outside or out from under that umbrella, God says this is where you abstain from fornication. You keep yourself away from those things. So anything that would be under that umbrella, you don't need to be there. That's what he's saying. All right. So God has a goal for my life and your life, and that is that we be free. And I have this a great book on the subject is a book by that I use at Heartland on a regular basis called Finally Free, if you want to read a great book on it. Now, it's not King James, unfortunately. Some of you guys need to start writing some books that use King James and not some of these nearly inspired versions that are out there. That's what NIV stands for, nearly inspired. It's almost, but not quite, right? No, I'm just teasing. But it's a great book. There are some books out there that you can read to help you with this. One of them is Every Man's Battle. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that one or not. I'm going to stop and just say this. I have read a lot of books to try to help guys in the area of purity. And I talked about a fire outside of the fireplace. If you're already struggling with impure thoughts, you don't want to read a book that's going to plant some seeds in your mind. You know, some of the books are great and they're great principles, but a couple of them can be very graphic. And so if you already have a fire in your brain, you don't want to pour gasoline on it, do you? Does that make sense? So anyway, Finally Free is a great book. I would recommend it. He handles being pure in a very, very good way. So number six, three vital steps in the victory, to victory in the battle of purity. All right, so these are some great, this is kind of the practical aspects of what we're talking about. So number one is this. Three vital steps. I'm under Roman numeral number six. Everybody there? Okay. Stay with us. Stay focused. Right? Did Florida get beat yesterday? Did they play yesterday? You don't know? Y'all don't care? Okay. Well, that's pretty cool. You guys don't even care whether they won or not. Huh? My Sooners beat Alabama. Amen. Oh, you, baby. Okay. Moving on. All right. So here are three vital steps to help you in the victory in the battle for purity. All right, number one is this. Invite God's presence into your life's choices. Invite God's presence into your life's choices. Now, there's a lot of bullets there. I'm not going to go through each of those individually, but let me just kind of walk through a couple of them. Number two, look at the second one. Cultivate a strong relationship with God that keeps iniquity out. How do you develop a strong relationship with God? Somebody tell me. How do you develop a strong relationship with the Lord? Huh?
Prayer.
Okay. How? What else?
Read your Bible.
Read your Bible and pray. Right? How about where we're at today? Go to church. Now, I'm not one on group therapy. You know, where a bunch of guys sit around and say, "Hi, my name is Eddie, and I'm addicted to Snickers bars. Hi, Eddie." I don't know why I pick y'all's names out. You just sit right there, and, you know, visual right there. But I do believe this. When everybody walks in the church, the front doors of Heritage Baptist Church, and they all walk in here, that's pretty good group therapy.
Right.
Because everybody that walks in here has the same problem.
Right.
What is it? We're all a bunch of sinners, right? And we need help from the Lord. So you cultivate a strong relationship with God. Here's another. Look at number four there. Refuse to minimize sin. We minimize it, don't we?
Right. Yes, sir.
Say, it's not hurting anybody else. You know what I look at on my computer? It doesn't hurt anybody. Yes, it does. It hurts your relationship with the Lord. It hurts your relationship with your wife. It hurts.
Yes.
So don't minimize it. I don't like snakes. Anybody here like snakes? I don't like snakes. If I'm out in the woods and, you know, we're going out dove hunting or quail hunting and I see a rattlesnake out there, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to kill that dude. I'm going to kill him, send him onto that great snake den in the sky. Amen? I don't like snakes. You ought to treat sin like a snake. That'll bite you and destroy your life. Treat it like a snake. Don't refuse to minimize. Here, look at the one toward the bottom, third one up. Allow the exposure to God's Word. Oh, this is so critical to renew your mind. You work in the world, right? I'm kind of sheltered, you know, 26 years at a Bible college, and I didn't have a whole lot of interaction with guys, but you work jobs, and you work in the job, and there's guys there, and they're telling their dirty jokes, and they're cussing, and they're all of this stuff. I've been there. I know what it's like. I know what it's like. And you need to renew your mind every day, because your mind's going to get dirtied up every day, isn't it? You need to renew it. That when Paul says that in Romans 12, renewing of your mind, you know what he's saying? Renovate it. Renovate it. The pastor was staying at their house and they're showing all the different renovations that they've done. You need your mind renovated every day. You've got to get in the book every day. You need it. I need it. We all need it. And then the last one there in James chapter 4. You can go back and look at all the verses. I'm trying to expedite things. What time we need to be done? Quarter till? Okay, we got to hurry then. All right, number two is this. Second thing is identify the battlefields. Identify the battlefields. Your place of employment. Walmart. You know what? I went to Walmart the other day looking for one thing, and they didn't even have it. I had to go all the way home, change out of my pajama pants, and go to Target. Amen? You can't go to Walmart if you don't have a pair of pajama pants on and slippers. Anyway, I'm sorry. All right. A trip to the mall, a friend's house, music, restaurants, the battlefields that can present themselves in our lives, traveling, school, teenage boys, you go to school. How about this one? Video games. Video games. And I'm not talking about the one with the Nintendo where you got to go to get it to work. I'm talking about video games. You'd be surprised how many video games are so sexual and so vulgar in the language and things of that nature. And I don't know, but I've talked to guys that struggle in the area of video games. I don't have time to go into all that. All right, so identify the battlefields. Number three is this. I got both your notes and mine. Implement God's battle plan. Implement God's battle plan. That's number three. Steve Arterburn in his book says this, we aren't short on power or authority. What we lack, listen, is urgency. Yes. Sexual impurity isn't like a tumor growing out of control inside of us. Sexual impurity is a series of bad decisions on our part, a result of immature character. Think about the guy that's a drunk. How different would his life have been if he'd never taken that first drink? Or guy addicted to drugs. How different his life would be had he not first smoked that first joint. Think with me on that. How different would your life and maybe my life be if we'd not looked at that pornography the very first time? Bad choices. It's all bad choices. Then number eight, three perimeters of defense surrounding your purity. Here's what we need to help us in walking through this. Number one, we need a battle plan for your heart. A battle plan for your heart. Look at the verse. Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The condition of your heart determines the direction of your life. Battle plan for your heart. Number two, you need a battle plan for your eyes. Battle plan for your eyes. Starve your eyes. And here's some practical things. Use a password on your computer and television requires you to enter a scripture reference that emphasizes purity. Get rid of your smartphone. If you can't control what you're looking at on your smartphone, you don't need a smartphone. You need a dumb phone. Is that right? Don't trust yourself. Don't trust yourself. Don't have a computer that your spouse doesn't know passwords for. If I want to look at my phone, my wife knows what my password is on my phone. She doesn't have to ask my permission. She is more valuable to me than a stupid smartphone. I'm sorry, I shouldn't use the word stupid in church, but we're all men here. She's more valuable to me than that. So don't trust yourself. So you need a battle plan for your heart, need a battle plan for your eyes. And what do you think the next one is? We need a battle plan, and I got it right here somewhere in my notes. I'm looking for your mind. Exactly right. Good job. Need a battle plan for your mind, because it is a battle of the mind. Philippians 4:8. I love 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, where he talks about casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Capture your thoughts. Capture your thoughts. Your mind should be guarded as closely as a security checkpoint at an airport. Hey, let me say this, and I don't know if I got it in yours or not, but number four down there, I know why I've got this one in there, but I think it's great. Don't text or call any woman except your mom or your sisters or your wife. When I was teaching at Heartland, if I had a class, the students knew my email address. If I got an email from a female student asking me a question about an assignment, when I'd email her, you know what I would do? They had that little CC thing on there, right? Carbon copy. Mm-hmm. You know who I'd put there? Vicki Darlene Jett. Vicki D. Jett at heartlandbaptist.edu. You know why? Because I didn't want to contact this female student. Your daughters, same thing. You know? Got to be careful. Hey, I don't know if I got it in the notes here, but I'm going to say it right here. You don't have to be guilty. You just have to be accused. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's drop down to the conclusion here. At the bottom down, I have a focusing exercise. All right? Number one is this. Everybody at the end, right? Everybody see where we're at? Very end. Focusing exercise. I skipped through a whole lot of it.
Can you give us that last point first?
What is the last point? Okay. All right. Let me give it to you here. I got it here somewhere. I got them all mixed up. I got your notes and my notes. You want to guess what it is? I know it's here somewhere. Initiate the right relationships. You got it. Everybody got all the blanks? All right, so let's go to the end there. And again, I want to look at this focusing exercise. You know, you watch sports, right? And they talk to these guys, say, well, how are you going to win the game? And you hear these big old guys go, die, we just got to stay focused. All right? So I'm going to give you some, is that right or not, right? We got to stay focused. All right. So here's some focusing exercise. Here's what I want you to do. Discuss measures for purity in your home with your spouse. If you're married, talk about some of these things. Accountability softwares. Password sharing for devices. Measures that you can take. I know, you know, on some televisions you can put parental controls on those things. Now here's what I've found with teenagers. You know, we got two teenagers, and these guys are tech savvy. I got my words wrapped around. And guys like this age, they know how to get around some of these guidelines. But here's the deal. If you try to get around it, you're going to get caught. Just mark it down. The Lord will catch you. And number two, discuss the same kind of measures with your children to assure that they too are focusing on purity in their lives. We've got two teenagers. I've already mentioned that like three times now. These guys need to have something that dads can give them to help them do these things. Because if they're, you know what, listen, Satan wants these young people's minds. So here, let me ask you this real quick. Get three more minutes. I'll be done at 10 of. Three more minutes. Here we go. Ready? What other measures can you take, or measures that you have taken in your home to guarantee some purity in these areas? Anybody want to volunteer some things? Talk about some things? Got rid of the TV. That'd be a big deal right there, isn't it? I'd go through withdrawals, but
you have to do with that sports along with the other stuff.
I know. But that's good. What else? What other things can you think of that maybe you've done or could help you even? How many have children? Let me see your hands. Got children at home. Have children at home. Some areas that you maybe could help your boys or young ladies with. Anybody? Okay. Well, that's all right. Any thoughts? Questions? We'll be here all week. So thank you for your attention. I know we went through that real quick, but I hope you can take this home. And what, you know, our goal is this week, we're going to give you some practical things to some homework. Homework. How long has some of them hadn't been in school for a long time, but we're going to give you homework this week. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for the Bible that gives us the answers. And pray that you bless the rest of the day and the rest of the week. Lord, speak to hearts, we pray in Jesus' name.